Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. On Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, we have a live worship service in Rancho Cucamonga. We would love to have you join us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga for worship. Many of you listening live in different areas, so I know you can't be in Rancho, but you could join us on our live stream, and it is at 9 a.m., and the live stream is on our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat. You can offer up prayers. You can connect with people, and you can worship and grow in grace. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship. They have our weekly worship services. They have our weekly messages. They have little short messages. The YouTube channel has children's messages. We here at The Seed want you to know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 24, 36 to 49. And it's a hope. We've been doing this whole series on hope. So we have talked about a foundation of hope. We talked about a persevering hope, a glorious hope, a remembering hope, a living hope, a saving hope. Now we're going to talk about a living letter of hope. And last week, if you missed those, you can always find them on our channel. Today, we're going to talk about a hope renewed. Let us pray. That's a good way to start. Lord Jesus, we just pray as we open your living word that your word would be alive and redemptive in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. It had been almost 2,000 years that the women went to the tomb early on that Sunday and found the tomb empty. They went in, they saw the grave clothes lying there. They did not see Jesus. Instead, they saw angels. The angel pronounced and proclaimed the greatest news of all time. Jesus is not here. He has risen, just like he said. Friends, that is the greatest news of all time. Jesus is not here. He has risen, just as he said. In all four of the Gospels, we are told the resurrection story. Paul includes the resurrection story in his writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In fact, I would encourage you to go read chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. It's all about the resurrection. Throughout the different scripture accounts, we are told different aspects of the resurrection. The gospel writers tell us about the resurrection story from their point of view. Each account varies with the details. But the one remaining truth that is the same is that on that third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead caused even his followers to mistake his identity. At the tomb, Mary Magdalene thought Jesus was the gardener. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus thought Jesus was the only one in Jerusalem who did not know what had happened there. In the Gospel of Luke, we have three different records of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Dr. Luke painted a tapestry with three different panels. One panel is the story found in Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12, that we normally read on Easter Sunday. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women go to the tomb early in the morning, and they find the stone is rolled away. They see two men inside, glowing like lightning. The two angels say to the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Luke chapter 24, verses 5 through 7. Dr. Luke tells us that the women remembered and ran back to tell the disciples the good news. The disciples think that the women are talking nonsense. However, we learn that Peter ran to the tomb after hearing the nonsense, only to find that the tomb really was empty. Peter walked away wondering, what in the world has happened? This is that first panel. If you are looking at like three paintings of Dr. Luke's resurrection story, the middle panel would be the story found in Luke chapter 24, 13 to 34. This panel would be painted with Cleopas and possibly Mary, his wife, walking home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. Out of the blue, Jesus was walking alongside of them. As they walked and talked, Jesus opened up all the scriptures to them, beginning with Moses and the prophets, and explained to them all that must happen to the Messiah. Even after all of that, these two still had a case of mistaken identity. It wasn't until Jesus broke bread with them and their eyes were open. Listen to what it says. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? What would it take for our hearts to burn within us? There's a good so what. What would it take for our hearts to burn within us? What would it take for us to not have a case of mistaken identity regarding Jesus? What would it take for us to turn around and run 7 miles from Emmaus to Jerusalem in order to tell the disciples that we have seen the risen Christ? Why is it that we have such a hard time seeing Jesus come alongside us in our lives? Why is it that we mistake his identity time and time again? I would say today, I would like for us to turn to the third panel of Luke's magnificent tapestry of the resurrection story. I pray our eyes would be open to see the risen Christ. Luke 24, 36 to 49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, yet because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Wow. Some great readings. Luke 24, 36 to 49. We are told that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women ran back from the tomb and told the disciples that Jesus had risen. We are told that Peter ran to the tomb and came back and told the disciples the same thing. The tomb is empty. Jesus has risen from the tomb. We are told that Cleopas and his companion came running back 7 miles in order to tell the disciples that their hearts were burning within them because they had seen and talked with Jesus who was risen from the tomb. After all of these encounters and reports, we are told that the disciples and all those gathered in the upper room were, quote, troubled and doubting, unquote. Troubled and doubting. Let me say it again, troubled and doubting. Sometimes it can be the smallest thing that causes trouble or doubt or fear or frustration or disbelief. On November 9th, 1965, at 5:16 p.m., events were set in motion that brought New York City to a standstill. A backup relay switch at the Sir Adam Beck Power Station in Ontario, Canada, was accidentally set too low to handle the increasing power transmissions, and it tripped. The power cascaded to the next line, which overloaded and transferred to the next line, shutting down the lines one after the other. In less than 5 minutes, the entire Northeast power grid was offline. The results were unimaginable. New York City was entirely blacked out within 10 minutes. There was no power to provide heat or light, no power to allow them to communicate, There was no power to run pumps, move sewage, or deliver water or gas. The power to run life support systems and hospitals were cut off. During the evening rush hour, an estimated 800,000 people were trapped in subways. Can you imagine that? Only half of the 150 hospitals had emergency power. At JFK Airport, 250 flights had to be diverted. With no light, no heat, and no communication, 30 million people found themselves encompassed in a dark, silent, frightening world, all because of a ripple effect set in motion by a small relay switch that was set too low. The disciples had just experienced a blackout. The scripture tells us that the entire world experienced a blackout for 3 hours when Jesus hung on the cross and died. The disciples watched as their hopes were shattered. Jesus was crucified on the cross. Just that night before, all of them had run for cover when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter then denied knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. The disciples were troubled and filled with doubt. A good so what question. Are we a lot like the disciples? Are we fair weather friends? When trouble and doubt appear, we run for cover? As the disciples were huddled in fear, frustration, doubt, and discouragement, it was Jesus who showed up. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" Luke 24:38. Hey, listen, I would encourage you to go write that by your computer, put it on your mirror, put it in your car. Look at that. Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" Luke 24:38. Look at verse 36 before he says that. Jesus enters the disciples' room, and notice the first thing he says, "Peace be with you." Peace. Shalom Aleichem. Is that? That's what it is in his language. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team at The Seed would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the icon for prayer. Write your prayer if you want a response. There's a place to do that. If you just need a question answered, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We have a couple that's giving out one-year Bibles. If you want a Bible, email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Jesus said in verse 38 of chapter 24, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" But right before he said that in verse 36, he said, "Peace be with you." When Jesus was born and the angel sang, go all the way back to the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 14, the angel sang, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." After Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples, he spoke to them and he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." John 14:27. In John 16:27, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We're living in troubled times. There's wars and rumors of wars. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds?" When the word speaks of peace, I believe God wants us to build a foundation of hope. I read a story about the building of the Chase Manhattan Bank. When the building was halfway through construction, they discovered what no builder ever wants to learn. The 60-story massive skyscraper was not built on rock, quicksand. At some point, if they didn't fix it, the building would sink, topple over, and destroy part of Manhattan. Something had to be done. Engineers were brought in to try and solve the problem. Then some geologists were brought in, and they stated that it would take 1 million years for the quicksand to solidify. Then someone came up with an innovative idea. They sank pipes deep within the quicksand and forced a solution of sodium silicate and calcium chloride into the quicksand. In a few days, the quicksand turned into solid water, right? Sandstone. They were able to finish the building. All they did was inject the additives. It was an ingenious idea. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. When Jesus came to earth, he came to bring peace, not as the world gives. Jesus told his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Here they were, a mere 3 days after Jesus was crucified, and their hearts are already troubled. Their minds are filled with doubts. So what? Where are you right now? I don't get to see your faces, but I pray for you. And I want you to know that Jesus is with you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. And he would say to me and to you, "Why are your hearts so troubled? Why do you have doubts?" Just 3 days and they are hiding away in that upper room. Suddenly Jesus enters into the midst of their doubts, their discouragements, their fears, their frustrations, their disbeliefs. Well, and their doubts. What is the first thing that Jesus says? "Peace be with you." The whole reason that we gather on Sunday mornings is that we can worship God and hear the words of Scripture. Then we listen to how we can apply those words into our lives. Each week, I pray that Jesus walks into the room of our hearts. What's the first thing he says?
Peace.
Shalom. I really believe that Jesus wants to enter into our troubles. Jesus wants to enter into our doubts. Jesus wants to enter into our discouragements and infuse us with his resurrection hope. Peace be with you. Wow. So what? So what? Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Jesus asked the disciples to look at his hands and feet. Jesus asked the disciples to touch him. He wanted them to have hope. Jesus wants you to have hope. He wanted them to have peace. Jesus wants you to have peace. Jesus says, "I am not a ghost." Jesus is not a made-up story to make people feel good. Jesus was crucified just like he said, and on the third day he was raised back to life, just as he said. Jesus tells his disciples to remember that all of this was predicted. Everything he had said had to be fulfilled. Many opened their minds so that they could understand. I say, wow, wow, wow. What a powerful statement. In Holman's dictionary, there are 120 Old Testament prophecies listed that are fulfilled by Jesus. There's 120 Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled by Jesus. That's why Jesus is sharing all the scriptures with them. Jesus wanted them to base their hope, not just on the miracle of the resurrection, but to base their hope on the scriptures. Jesus concludes his encounter with the disciples in the upper room by saying, "You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with a power from on high," Luke 24, verses 48 to 49. The word witness is martyreus. A martyreus is one who gives a testimony, shares the evidence, or becomes a witness. Dr. D. James Kennedy, a famous pastor, pointed out in one of his books that despite the church starting with a small band of discouraged, doubting, and troubled disciples, the church became the greatest force for good in all of history. Among its accomplishments, the church brought about hospitals, universities, literacy for the masses, capitalism, free enterprise, representative government, the separation of political powers, civil liberties, the abolition of slavery, modern science, discovery of the new world, the elevation of women, the Good Samaritan ethic of charity, high standards of justice, the elevation of the common man, the value of human life, the work ethic, the codifying and writing of the world's languages, the preservation of human life through, well, the condemnation of perversion and elevation of a healthy lifestyle practices, and a greater development and inspiration for music and art. All of this came about because of the church. So what? Every Sunday at the Seed we gather. And if you don't have a home church, we invite you to our church. If you don't know where to find a church, email me at Pastor Dave and I'll help you find a church. Every Sunday we gather at the Seed and we We want the word, the living word, to be rightly preached. Why? Because we're no different than those first disciples. Just like them, many of us are troubled. We have our doubts. We struggle with discouragement. And then we hear the living words of truth, and our foundation of hope is fitted with one more brick that we can stand strong. Think about how a little relay switch covered an entire city in darkness. It wasn't anyone's fault who lived in New York City, but there they were, enveloped in a total blackout. I think we can relate. There have been times when we've been covered by darkness. Our world has come to a screeching halt, and there we sit and wait. The relay switch of our lives has gone haywire. The truth is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead will fix our broken relay. The resurrection will bring light into our darkness. The year was 1997, and I just graduated from seminary, and I was out applying for jobs and going on interviews, and I wasn't able to work as much as I needed. We lived frugally and made the house payment, utilities, and whatever monthly bills we had, but the month had arrived when we needed to go pay our house taxes. My wife, I call her Jack, her name is Jacqueline. Jack and I didn't have the first or the second installment. They let the first installment slide and waited for the full payment. Jack and I had taped our tax bill to the vent of our stove face down. It was our visual reminder to pray for our specific needs. That bill had been taped there for months. With all the seminary graduation stuff and our youngest daughter's graduation from high school, there was no stuff left over for the house taxes. The account was empty. The day finally arrived when the overdue tax bill was mailed to the house. Jack and I taped it to the stove vent too, and we prayed and prayed and prayed. How can we pay the $4,000 bill? I decided it was time to go down to the county courthouse and tell them that we needed an extension. Once I had a job, we would sell the house and pay the taxes. I opened the bill. There, across the middle of the bill, in big, red, bold letters, was a sight I'd never forget. Paid in full. I looked at my wife and I said, there's been some kind of mistake here. This says our taxes are paid in full. I had to get up and go to work early the next day, so my wife took the bill and called the office from her Christian bookstore where she worked part-time. She explained that there had to be some sort of mistake, and we wondered how to correct it. The man on the other end of the phone said, there's no mistake, Mrs. Peters. Your house taxes have been paid in full. My wife was so excited that she drove around town until she found my work truck. She came into the new house construction that I was working on when I was staining a banister on a stairwell, and she said, Dave, it's not a mistake. Someone paid our taxes. 20 years later, we still do not know who paid the bill. Because of the resurrection, Jesus walks into our lives where we are hiding in doubt and fear, and the light of the world speaks into the darkness, and he says, peace. Here's your so what for this week. The word martyreus sounds like martyr. For the next weeks or so, I'm praying that you will give a witness, a testimony, share the evidence of how Jesus, the light of the world, walked into your life and turned your darkness into peace. I know that many of you have a story to tell. You can email me. You can let me know. Pray about it. Let me know. And that let us all be witnesses to each other. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Help us when we are troubled and worried about many things. Let us hear the words of Jesus. Peace be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and know that God is with you and for you. God bless. Have a great day. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.